Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Radio Ma'arif, broadcasting from the holy city of Qom in the Islamic Republic of Iran. I would also welcome you to Question and Answer, trying to address all your concerns on Islam, whether in beliefs or in our actions. And again, once more, we'd like to welcome Hujjatul Islam, Dr. Abbas Ali Barati. Welcome to the program, Dr. Barati.
Thank you very much.
And we have a very interesting list of questions for you to answer. And I think to go right into it, and I think everybody's ear is going to go up when they hear this one, it's about love. It's about falling in love. What is the Islamic view concerning falling in love?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Falling in love has two types. One is ordinary, for every man and woman to have a kind of trend to the opposite sex, and it's a kind of need. They consider a kind of need in Islam, especially if it is not going to extremism and to shadow other aspects of life, other activities of life, either materialistic life or a spiritual life. That's ordinary, and Islam recognizes it and even encourages the family and the society to let the two sexes or two individuals which felt in love to reach to each other and to be able to marry with each other and live with each other. This is if it is ordinary and in natural way. But sometimes people are trapped in extremism in many things, including love. Some of them, for example, even do a lot of exaggeration in this love, and even they live their ordinary life or their duties or their ethics and discipline and etiquette for this love, only because of love. So in this time, love is not encouraged and is not endorsed by Islam. And even there are some traditions from imams and saints that this kind of love is a kind of deception and a kind of ignorance. Because if there is a kind of love, it should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah has granted all the life and bestowments and gifts to us, and He is the source of all beauties or bestowments or attractive things in the world. So we should live this kind of love for Him only. So if you mean ordinary and natural love, it is encouraged by Islam, and even Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his household, encourages young men and women to marry as soon as possible, and says that the one who marries guarantees 2/3 of his iman, his faith. And also there is another tradition saying from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says that ma buniya fil Islam bina'un ahabba ila Allah min at-tazwij. There is no construction more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than construction of love and family. I don't know which kind of meaning is meant.
If, Now, you know, when I hear falling in love, I mean, and I'm from the West, usually when we talk about falling in love, we talk about, for example, a young man and a young woman who are non-mahram, mm-hmm. who go to university, for example, mm-hmm. and they see each other from a distance, and the man falls in love with the woman that he sees from a distance, or vice versa. You know, I think about, for example, people falling in love with movie stars. You know what I mean? You have a whole group of people, you call them groupies, you know, that follow singers everywhere because they are in love with that person. I think of people who, for example, see somebody on a stage, maybe giving a speech or what have you, or somebody who is very, very popular on the football team, you know, that people fall in love with them for this. In other words, in the West, by and large, falling in love is something that, first of all, happens in a distance, at a distance, you know. The other person doesn't know the other person. And that person sees that person and falls in love with them. Or they might have a relationship, but the relationship is a distant relationship. For example, they might be studying together. Studying, okay? Apparently, the idea of being attracted to that person is not there, you know, but this occurs. What does Islam say about those type of circumstances?
That is named in Islam, hub, al-hub and al-bughd. Hub or bughd. Hub means love and bughd means hatred. So, Islam accepts hub and bughd, love and hatred. But there are some standards and guidances for hub and bughd, for love and hatred. They are derived from our values, our value system, our creeds and beliefs, our ideology, our worldview. So in Islam, we love some people, like we love scientists, we love saints, we love pious people, we love brave people, we love heroes which sacrifice for mankind, for liberty, for knowledge of mankind. So this kind of love and hatred not only are accepted in Islam, but Islam has some guidances, some systems for them. There is a man, Arab person, comes to Prophet, peace be upon him, and asks him, "O Prophet of God, is there in Islam something as love and hatred?" Prophet, peace be upon him and his household, answers him, "That's strange of you. Islam and religion is not more than love and hatred. It's only love and hatred. But love for whom and hatred of whom? Love for beauties, for valuable people, for pious people, for gracious people, for those who are useful for the society, who are helping society, who are sacrificing themselves for the society, for the mankind even, like prophets and saints and scientists and philosophers and others, which are really, really helpful and useful for the society." So if somebody loves these people, is encouraging Islam, the answer of Prophet is that hal al-din illa al-hubb wal-bughd. Says there is nothing more than love and hatred in religion.
Right.
Everything is love and hatred. But love to whom? Loving, for example, cinema star, which only is able to show her body or, for example, some positions like this, is not good for people because it is not helpful for people to be developed, to be educated, to progress, to can live with dignity. But loving some people that you can make the models for you, really right. Models, and follow them, and they help you. They rescue you from being deprived or being, for example, aggressed. Or like this is good for you. You can benefit. You can be benefited from them. This is good. But these people, no, only they want to take your money and or some others are with you, and later they will forget you and never help you. And they are really helping themselves, not you.
Right.
So loving them is a kind of being deceived or being...
What about falling in love with a non-Muslim?
Everything that can be useful for you. For example, there is maybe there are some non-Muslims, but these non-Muslims are helpful for you,
yeah.
Are knowledgeable people like philosophers, like, for example, inventors, like discoverers. If you really love them, love this kind of work of them that they help the mankind.
No, I don't mean like that. I don't mean like that. Because, like, you know, one could love, for example, Thomas Edison, right, you know. But falling in love, you know what I mean? wanting to marry that person. You know, that's what the kind of love I mean. Mm-hmm. You know, that has some kind of maybe hidden sexual dimension, for example. You know, here's a young Muslim girl, muhajibeh, you know, has hijab, goes to university, and sees a very intelligent, good-looking, beautiful, kind, you know, neat, you know, Hindu guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And she falls in love with him. And she thinks love is something nice and innocent. And God gave us love. And there's nothing wrong with this love I have for this Hindu guy.
Okay. There is a solution for it in Islam.
Yeah.
If this girl could safeguard her faith and values and dignity, in this case, she will ask that guy, that Hindu guy, to marry her.
Mm-hmm.
And for marrying her, it is necessary for that guy to become Muslim. So that's
right.
good.
Right. Right.
In this way, this is the solution.
Yeah.
And it happens in most of the cases.
Mm-hmm.
When the girl is muhajjabah, like you told, is wearing hijab and is faithful, then she asks, there is no problem for me to reach you and for you to reach me. But there is one condition. I am a Muslim, and I like to be a Muslim. If I am Muslim, I am not permitted to marry a non-Muslim. But I ask you, please, because you love me, I invite you to Islam.
Right.
If you really, really love me, please become a Muslim and marry me.
What about if she falls in love with him?
Okay.
Let's say he's the object of her love.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe he might like her, but he's not
in
love with
her. I have a lot of cases that happened like this, and then the girl asked the guy to become a Muslim and marry her.
That's
easy.
I guess vice versa is the same.
There is more than one purpose, multi-purpose. For example, letting love to be successful and also to guide one person.
And spread Islam.
Yeah. It's so interesting.
Right, right, right. And I think the same thing can happen with a man as well. I mean, a young Muslim man sees a beautiful Kafir, and he has to come to Islam and so on
he or she carries in this time a greater love and a more precious love and initiative love, that is love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she or he does not sacrifice his or her love of Allah for this kind of love.
Right.
Keeps both of them,
makes
them coincided.
Right.
Both of them coincided.
Right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with love. Yes, is with love. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same time has a legal system, has an educational system, has a value system. So why you don't keep this and that, both of them?
Right.
It's better for you.
Right.
So please try a little bit, make an effort to change his or her mind and invite her to Islam. And for sure, if there is a bilateral love, the other partner will accept.
Right. Now, some people talk about love and they say, for example, arranged marriages.
Yeah.
You know, your daughter becomes of age, your son becomes of age, your parents find a person for you to marry. And they say, and I think this is because of the influence of Western ideas, because Western ideas think that you have to romance first. Mm-hmm. You have to have romance first or love first before you get married. And so some people say, okay, I don't want an arranged marriage. I don't want to get married with somebody I don't know because I have to love them first.
Yeah.
Okay. How do we respond to them to that type of question?
It is left for the two partners to know each other, to love each other, but there should be a period there. Then first introduce them to each other, explain for every partner about good attitudes and qualifications in other part, even give them a period of time, chance to study about each other. But regarding all Sharia laws and regulations, then when they really understood each other, discovered each other, and decided they can marry. The parents have no right to compulse marriage on them or force them or, for example, urge them to accept this marriage. When it happened in time of Prophet, peace be upon him, and I think Martyr Mutahhari also brings this story, this tradition to his book, Stories of Righteous People, that young girl came to Prophet, peace be upon him, and his household, and told that my parents married me to a person. I don't know him at all. When I was a child. And now I grow up and became mature, and they ask me to go with this man and marry him. Do I have a right to reject or not? Prophet, peace be upon him, told, yes, that's up to you. If you like that man, you endorse the marriage. If you don't like, this marriage could not be valid without your satisfaction.
Right.
So, in the other hand, yes, some families do this without giving the chance to two sides to know each other. They should know each other. But knowing each other does not mean to go with each other, go outdoors and live with each other like mahrams, like, for example, husband and wife. No. Knowing, testing and evaluating and judging that she or he can live with the other side or not.
Yeah.
Is another side suitable for him or her or not? And it is possible to love him or to like him or her or not. Only this. Marriage is not simple. Marriage in Islam is two types. And normally people don't commit the temporary marriage. They want to do permanent marriage. When we say marriage, normally is a permanent marriage meant. So permanent marriage means to spend an entire life, a complete life with a person. It is not a simple issue that we take it easy.
Mm-hmm.
It should be left for them, give them chance, even give them consultation, and let them to decide freely.
Right.
And wisely.
Right. Because, you know, what I get from what you're saying is that what is important in the beginning is to be able to know the compatibility. If this person is compatible with me, if this person is suitable for me to get married. And this is why you have this sort of period before marriage of getting to know each other within a particular controlled circumstance. But that does not falling in love. That is not falling in love.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Of course.
This could be the precondition for falling in love, but that's not falling in love. What you have some people saying is that I need to fall in love before I get married. And therefore, an arranged marriage, because there's no love existing there before, right? An arranged marriage is not suitable for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the area of love then, how could an arranged marriage sort of incorporate in itself falling in love? Does falling in love occur in the beginning? Should it occur in the beginning? Or can it occur in the middle? How does arranged marriage look at falling in love as an important aspect?
There are two aspects of views and understandings and values. One is cultures and customs of people. Another one is aspect of Sharia and law. Customs and cultures are different. But when you want to make them compatible with Islam, Islam does not bring a precondition like falling in love for marriage. In Islam, it is not necessary for you to be to fall in love with a person, then marry him or her. Only is your satisfaction enough. If you are ready, optionally, freely, ready to marry him or her, that's enough for legal and Shari marriage. But falling in love also is not common in all cultures of the world. Only in modern culture of the West, after Renaissance, in some countries, they say that you should fall in love first, then marry. So this is a temporary and is a local culture. This local culture, Islam does not reject it, does not endorse it. They can fall in love. If they fall in love, there is no matter. But it is not necessary. And for falling in love, Westerners say that it is necessary for the both sides to go with each other, even have relations very deep and close. and for example, friendly, even some, for example, sexual relations before marriage. Mm. These are not acceptable in Islam. Islam, as a system of law and regulation, Sharia does not accept these. But knowing each other is okay. Deciding for marriage with free will and option is accepted in Islam. But falling in love, especially this falling in love, which means that for a period of life, girl and boy go freely with each other, have sexual relations, it is not valid in Islam. Mm-hmm. Because in most of the cases, even the experience shows that these marriages would not stay so long. Because when the boy, for example, finds the pleasure or the, for example, desire with the girl, there is no, very soon he loses his temper of this girl. Yeah. And also the girl loses his temper because
they get tired of each other.
There is free sexual relations there, and even they can have more than one friend, for example, like this. So it is not good for them and not valid in Sharia. Mm-hmm. There are some differences between Islamic culture, Islamic value system, and the existing system in some parts of the world, like in modern West, especially we mean in, for example, Europe and America. Mm-hmm. These are kinds of relations which even they regretted from them. And it is a very short and temporary habit of the West. Mainly after 60s, it is now common in the West. Even before 60s, in most of the countries, they were conservative and they were taking care of the same values and cultures and customs which Sharia brings. And Christianity, Judaism, and Islam are so close in this regard. So religion was dominant till the 60s, and even it was not good for girls and boys to have free relations before marriage, and for women to have to know other men and to be friendly with them. And now they regret, because really the family life is collapsing in the West. And people are seeking for the causes, reasons, solutions, and so and so. Islam severely and powerfully supports the building of family, the family life. So does not give such as this permissions to have this kind of relations before marriage or after marriage, because it is against family life and makes a kind of anarchy in sexual relations, in family relations, and is against, for example, producing generation and continuation of life of Ummah. Now the West is in danger. Really, they are afraid. Right. And some of the roots of Islamophobia in the West is traced in this issue, because they find the number of population of real Europeans or real Americans are going down, and number of immigrants, especially Muslims, is going up, increasing. And they don't know why. Some of them noticed to this issue recently, but they don't like to confess, because it is against their, for example, slogans and their propaganda. So they are trying to show it as a kind of threat from Islam and Islamic world, that is, and Muslim immigrants. They are occupying Europe, they are occupying America, they are, for example, attacking the West, they are coming to the West. No, we are not like that. You yourself, you made your pillars of society to collapse, because you didn't protect the family life enough protection. So now the family life is collapsing. And the, for example, demography is changing because of you, because of your policies and your, for example, values, new values you brought, or you wanted to test, you wanted to examine, you wanted to bring new, for example, system of life, new lifestyle. That's to you. Fault of you.
We go right into the next question, because this is moving right into this next question. Nice fit, family planning.
Oh,
family planning? Okay, somebody asked the question, let me know what Islam says about family planning and advertising family planning. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people who think this whole idea of family planning is Western. And one of the problems we're talking about in the West is exactly this, the result of family planning. When they say, you know, the less children you have, the more fun, the easier life is going to be. And you find in the in Eastern countries, right, I won't mention some countries, where they say what? You know, less children, better life.
Yeah.
So now we have family planning and advertising it. What does Islam say about family planning and advertising? What's a good part and what's a bad part?
Maybe this is a kind of epidemic for our time, our age, mm-hmm. our century. Because the words are so sweet and so beautiful and meanings are so bad.
Right.
This word has very good meaning, good taste. Family planning.
Yeah,
all of us love family planning. But when they come to implement it and execute it and, for example, practice it, family planning means don't have children, less children.
Yes.
But in practical meaning, no children.
Yes.
Go for pleasure.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time for education of children.
Right.
So, you know, these terms, terminology is a political, Western, modern terminology, which don't have sense, don't have meaning. You hear family planning, but you should understand no family.
Right.
Planning to destroy family.
Right. Right. Yes? I mean, I've seen people with one kid. One child.
Even later, maybe one decade later, no child.
Right.
The slogan is, no child, better life.
Right.
Go for pleasure.
Exactly.
So, Islam is not like that. So, how they want to fight later? How they want to defend the West? Mm-hmm. Defend the Western life, the Western society? They say that they are guardians of Western life. They want to promote, for example, American or Western values to the whole world. Their war, their fighting, they are crusaders of this. They go everywhere to the world to defend lifestyle of the West. Okay, mm-hmm. How they want to defend it? Mm-hmm. When they don't have children,
right.
They don't have soldiers,
right.
They don't have
right,
native
right.
people. How yes. they want to yes. defend
you
it?
You find, like, for example, in America, in Iraq, for example,
yeah.
A lot of the soldiers are immigrants,
yeah.
People who join the army and with the condition of work being a soldier in the army, that's where they get their green card.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they have like immigrants, fighting for them in the army. Yeah.
So this means that even they failed in defending themselves
mm-hmm.
and their values and their system. You know, after the 9/11, they established a new institution. Called it Institution for American Values. And they told, and they issued a declaration. 60 thinkers, philosophers, scientists, activists of America, United States of America, issued a declaration and told for what we fight. What is our war for?
Mm-hmm.
They told, we are fighting for American values. We want to make them spread all over the world and be dominant in all over the world. Okay, so these values are against the West, against mm-hmm. America. They want to dismantle America, destroy America.
Right.
So Islam is not like that. Mm-hmm. Islam says that you should keep the structure of society, keep the essence of society, continuance of society, Islamic Ummah, and even for others, Islam does not permit others to do this, to, for example, kill their generation or prevent the next generation to emerge. So this kind of family planning, if they come to the real meaning, not a political and propagational meaning of family planning, plan for family means that plan for protection of family, really family life. But all of the new Western, for example, propaganda is against family. When you, for example, give these chances for women and men to have in relation, or girls or boy, and make the conditions of marriage difficult for them, even impossible for them to marry, and make it easy for them to reach each other and answer their sexual desires even easier than drinking a Coca-Cola or or eating a sandwich. It is against family. So this planning is planning to destroy family. Right. Anti-family planning,
right.
Not family planning.
Right.
This is the right. True meaning. Islam is not against family planning. If you mean really that Islam likes to confine the number of children and like that, no. Islam does not find the solution in this. The solution is not to prevent the couples of having children or having more children. The solution is to distribute the goods and the foods and the wealthies
and the resources
equally and justly and manage them.
Right.
Manage the sources, not to let people die from hunger. You know, now we are talking with each other here in this studio. Every day, tens of thousands of people die from hunger in this present world.
Right.
And in the same time, still people in the West, some people in the West, are destroying foods, provisions, and even using them for fuel, mm-hmm. for automobile, for example, fuel.
Right.
Making gasoline of them. So this is a kind of bad management of the world. It is a kind of bad world order.
Right.
We need world order. We need family planning. But this is a word. This is a term. What do you mean of it? How do you want to implement it? How do you want to practice it? Is this a good world order? There is one power, one pole of the world. So this one power is responsible of everything happening in the world. If people are dying from hunger in Africa or in Asia or even in American continent, this one pole and one power, one empire is responsible. Mm-hmm. Means that it failed in management of the world, in leading of the world, in bringing a new and modern and capable, just mm-hmm. system for the world. So, but they use only sweet words, and deceive you by sweet words. No, really plan for family. Plan for them. Why you don't plan for them?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Plan for families. Give them chances to have children. Use these children for developing the world, for helping other people, seeking other people. Employ them in peaceful works, not in wars and conflicts and differences. Don't promote hatred and bias in the world. Don't make wars. Don't make weapons. Instead of making weapons, destructive weapons, make, for example, farms, make forests, keep the environment of destruction, and bring more foods, more provisions, and give people to eat. And even go and discover other planets, undiscovered planets.
Mm-hmm.
So management and the brain is important. Not words, sweet words.
Not sweet
meaningless words.
And I want to thank you because we're just out of time. Thank you again so much, Dr. Barati, for your words of wisdom. And remember to our listeners, if you have any questions or comments, please don't forget to write us at our website. And it's radiomaarif@riib.ir. That's radiomaarif@riib.ir. And Maarif is spelled M-A-A-R-E-F. M-A-A-R-E-F. And if you would like to contact us directly by telephone, you can call us at 0098-251-291-0551. That's 0098-251-291-0551. Thanks for joining us. And until next week, see you on Question and Answer at Radio Maarif, broadcasting from Qom, from the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah,
subhanallah,
Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, wa shukru lillah, ala ma hadana,
subhanallah,
Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah,
subhanallah,
Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, wa shukru lillah, ala ma hadana,
subhanallah,
Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah,
subhanallah,
Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, wa shukru lillah, ala ma hadana,
subhanallah. subhanallah
Allah Allah alhamdulillah